Hello and welcome to Resource Report, where we share with you important information about local nonprofits and resource organizations that support the community we share, produced by Pathways to Agency.
I am your host, Rainmaker. I am thrilled to share with you my interview with Ali Ewing, the co-executive director of the YWCA of Olympia. We sat down together in the Zonta Room within the beautiful and historic Kearney House. Here's Ali.
I am here at the YWCA Kiernan House with Ali Ewing. Hello, Ali. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for being here with me.
It's a pleasure to be here with you. Can you please introduce yourself, your position, and how did you come to be here at the YWCA? And what does YWCA stand for also?
That is a great question. So my name is Ali, and I use she and her pronouns, and I've been here at the YWCA of Olympia since January of 2023. I came on as a co-executive director in our community engagement. So I have been working in more of the external facing role, meeting community partners, getting to know what kinds of services are available, how to work in collaboration with other organizations and other community groups and get the word out about what our programming has been and who we are now in 2025, 80 years later. So we were founded here in Olympia in 1945 and celebrated our 80th anniversary this summer. And the Kearney House has been here since 1907.
Wow. And what does YWCA stand for?
YWCA stands for the Young Women's Christian Association.
Okay.
And pretty much the only relevant word still from our institutional acronym is association. So there's folks of all ages that we serve, all genders, and we're not a religious affiliated association, even though that was how the YWCA was originally founded in the 1800s.
1800s?
Yes. It started, I think it was maybe somewhere in Europe. And there were, they were prayer circles, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. But here in Olympia, they started as a small group of women who had been gathering together. We were founded in 1945, and we moved here into the Kearney House in 1947. And the Kearney House was built by a family who were grocers and sold the building to the first iteration of YWCA in Olympia. And we have been here ever since.
Wow, that's a really strong association with this building.
Absolutely. I think the organization and the building are really synonymous. People drive by and they tell me that they've come by here every day for years and they never, you know, have come in or introduced themselves. And so even in the last couple of weeks, people are stopping by to say, hey, I heard about what's going on, and I want to know more about what you're doing. So I'm really glad to be able to share.
That's awesome. So what are the missions and values of the YWCA then?
So YWCA Olympia, our mission is to eliminate racism and empower those impacted by oppression so that we may embody as a community our vision that all people live free and thrive in a just society. So we operate under four main values, centering Black and Indigenous women, Black and Indigenous women and women of color, people over systems, accountability, and collective care.
Oh, I love that. That sounds so wonderful.
Yeah.
That's a great vision.
It's a great vision. It's a big vision.
It is.
And we're really lucky to be able to actualize it in community with other people. There's not one right way that that looks, and it's evolved over the last few years. And I'm just hoping that we can find a way to continue to live out that mission here in our community. We've been a lot of different things over the years. Organizations that are now operating in the community, like Safe Place or the Crisis Clinic, those started here. New Life Baptist Church started in Friendship Hall at a time when church communities were segregated here, and they were the first Black Baptist church in the area, and they just celebrated their 50th anniversary a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it was really lovely to have Dr. Thelma back here and looking at Friendship Hall and hearing about her experience here during that time when New Life Baptist Church was starting and other programs that she had been a part of. She had been a part of the Work Options for Women's program that started in the 70s and 80s, and I had no idea actually that she was a part of that program, but I was showing her some of those posters that we found in the attic, and she was telling me about how she had been on the board and they were talking about economic empowerment for women, and she stepped off the board to help run that program. And the different ways that different community members have been connected here throughout the years has been really, really cool to hear about.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Y'all have a deep, interconnected relationship with this community. That's so much, so much. That's wonderful to hear. And so I would say I want to ask about your programs, because I think it's through your programs that you're able to embody those values in action. Mm-hmm. So what are your current programs right now that you have operating?
So currently we have Kathleen's Closet, which is a business casual closet for folks to come and shop for clothes for an interview or a court hearing or a meeting with a caseworker. Community members donate clothes, and people can drop in and shop Tuesday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And they're welcome to try clothes on. They're welcome to come back and get more clothes another time. We are really lucky with our generous community to have a lot of donations. And we've expanded the footprint of the closet in our building. At the end of last year, we expanded the closet into this front office space so that we are able to offer more variety of clothes, and we can kind of turn clothes over more efficiently, because previously we had all those clothing racks up in the attic, and it was so challenging to go up there and find sizes. So the closet this year has served over 200 people already, which is in huge increase from the previous years. I think word getting out about it, as well as more people needing access to basic needs like mm-hmm. clothes to secure a job or clothes to wear to their job. We also have scrubs available that folks can shop for in black non-slip shoes, other vocational clothes as well that we're hoping to continue to be able to offer to people. As of right now, that's the only program service that we have available. We recently had to close our youth programming as well as our Let's Talk program, which were community-based workshops that were 101 introductions to different topics. Over the last year, the topics have included housing crisis, how to apologize, anti-Black racism, climate justice, I put on our website some of the Let's Talks workshops from last year. We had a workshop around race and class, race and gender, white supremacy culture, healing justice, somatics and anti-oppression, and calling in and calling out, so different skills around accountability. And those workshops were really supportive ways, not only for folks to learn about different topics, but to network and meet other people who are interested in learning about similar things. So we recognize just the value of bringing people together and how important it is for people to feel like they belong in a space and they can ask questions in these spaces that they may not feel comfortable or wouldn't be appropriate to ask in other spaces. So having containers for some basic questions were really helpful for people.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Safe spaces to communicate difficult topics are so important. But you're not currently having those right now.
Right. Our last Let's Talk workshop was in August. Mm-hmm. And we have had to close the majority of our programming, our Youth Action Circle and our Let's Talk programs, because of the funding crisis that we found ourselves in.
Yeah. About the rental spaces, you still have those available right now, don't you?
We do, yes. We have our carriage house here at our building, Friendship Hall, that is available to rent. There are a couple of organizations who are renting it for their programming, and they love being here. They love having access to a centrally located ADA accessible space that is affordable, but also supporting running our operations here. There is also this space that we're sitting in right now. This is the Zonta room. So there's a dining room table that's a meeting table that fits about six to eight people. And there's a fireplace and some built-in benches that are all characteristics of this historic home as it's listed on the...
Window seats.
Yeah, yeah. Little window seats.
And a couple little couches.
Couple couches and really beautiful exposed fir beams. And the room had been renovated to mimic the original wallpaper and fixtures and textiles of the curtains from its original style.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a lovely picture of it on your website that I saw. Yeah.
And the lower level in our building has recently been renovated, so there is a lower level here that has a large open room on one side and then some workspaces in the center, and there's a small office and a bathroom down there as well. And that space is open and available if folks are able to use a space that isn't necessarily ADA accessible, but it's available for different meetings or even perhaps childcare. Mm-hmm. And then we have office space available upstairs that people can rent. So one of the ways that we're hoping to sustain our ability to be open is by renting out the office spaces upstairs on our second floor. So there are a few smaller offices and one larger office, and we're going to have all of that info up on our website really soon.
Okay, cool.
You You are listening to Resource Report on Chaos, featuring today's guest, Ali Ewing of YWCA of Olympia. After a brief message, we will be right back.
The YWCA of Olympia. Why the why? Here's why. The YWCA of Olympia is a nonprofit organization serving girls, women, and their families in the South Sound since 1945. Throughout the years, the YWCA of Olympia has worked to change history from civil rights to women's rights, from advocacy for women's health care to ending violence against women and girls. In fact, local organizations such as Safe Place, the Rape Relief Center, the Refugee Center, the Crisis Clinic, all began as YWCA of Olympia programs. The YWCA is the voice for every woman, speaking out and taking action on behalf of women and girls. The YWCA of Olympia, in partnership with over 300 volunteers each year, supports the advancement of all women in our community. To find out more or to get involved, visit ywcaofolympia.org. And that's why.
Welcome back to Resource Report on Chaos. Let's return to Ali Ewing, Executive Co-Director of YWCA of Olympia.
I met with Robert Vanderpool from the City Council last week.
Yeah.
He came from the City of Olympia City Council. He came in and met with me here last week, and we were talking about similar, like, not consolidation, but, like, we have so much space available. And I want to talk more about this, too, but we have office space available now, and I know that there are organizations that are not able to have their own standalone space necessarily, but if they just need to rent an office or something, I don't know if it would be an organization or if it would be like a small business owner. I see this as
becoming
like a almost like a community center type space here, because right now as it stands there are six or seven organizations or grassroots community groups that use different spaces in our building to run their programs and operations, like Hummingbird Studio, for example, in Friendship Hall. They are a part of the Armory renovation, but they don't have anywhere to operate until that's complete. And so they are able to rent out the space in Friendship Hall, and it's a great fit for them. For the time being, while they're, you know, waiting for their next space. So being able to have folks here in the building that supports their programming and what they're offering and also supports our revenue and...
One hand washes the other. That's totally what it's about.
Yeah.
Let's all help each other.
But how the thing that I was talking about with City Council member Robert Vanderpool last week was... Like, where could I find a list of organizations or something to get the word out that we have space available? Like, yeah. I'm trying to just tell everybody in every conversation when they're like, how's it going over there? What are you all up to? I'm like, we have space to rent. Do you know anybody who, wants to rent an office or needs a place to have a meeting? They can rent this room here, this meeting room, and we just finished a renovation in the lower level of our building with a grant from the county. I mean, I think too, finding organizations that have a need or a strength and being able to support each other.
Also have the space, the Liberation Collective. Is that you guys?
The Liberation Collective is a community group that has been around for the last couple of years, and they sublease out the Friendship Hall, and then they have supported in renting out the space to other community groups. So they kind of steward the rental side of Friendship Hall Sunday through Thursdays. And then we, as YWCA, rent it out on Fridays and Saturdays.
So the Friendship Hall is like its own thing.
It's a little bit of its own thing.
You and, so YWCA and Liberation Collective, y'all kind of share the management of it.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you explain that a little bit more clearly again?
Yeah. So it's interesting because I, when I first moved to Olympia 3 years ago, I had started to connect with some folks who were looking at creating kind of a healing space where people could offer different classes or workshops or have meetings that were not able to access space in other buildings or other venues here in town. And so originally it was going to be in a different location, and that location fell through. And so I had shown some folks Friendship Hall. Maybe this could be somewhere you could use in the meantime while you figure out where you want to go or what you need. And it worked out that that was actually exactly the place that they were envisioning having a space for, particularly folks who needed and wanted access to a sliding scale to rent a space. I mean, one of the huge barriers to being able to offer a class or a workshop is the cost of the space, mm-hmm. and it not being ADA accessible. And so the Liberation Collective started renting that space from us, and then other community groups go to the Liberation Collective to rent out the space from them, if that makes sense. Yeah, so we then share communications. If somebody reaches out to us about renting the space on a Tuesday, for example, I'll direct them to the Liberation Collective.
I see. Mm-hmm. Interesting. That's a really cool symbiotic relationship there.
One of the things that we have found is really beneficial is the more folks that we have in the space, the more ideas that we have about what the space could be. And just seeing the variety of people that are accessing and using Friendship Hall has been really cool to see evolve over the years. It had been the other bank for decades. The other bank was a hygiene bank.
Oh.
And folks would come to shop for hygiene products, shampoo, conditioner, diapers, all kinds of items. And it was set up like a store in there in Friendship Hall. In 2019, the other bank merged with the food bank, so that it was more of a one-stop shop for people accessing basic items like food and hygiene. And then when COVID hit, the other bank wasn't there anymore. We weren't operating in-person programming. And so when we did start operating in-person programming again in 2023, we cleared out Friendship Hall, and the Liberation Collective updated the flooring, and they painted and they updated all the lighting in there. And it's a really warm, welcoming space that is multi-purpose now.
It is nice. I was at the community dinner that Power had recently hosted, and I was in there, and it was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's been really great to have people.
So what are the costs and sliding scale rates and whatever, and is that different between renting from you guys versus Liberation Collective? Can you expand on that, give us some details?
Yeah, so our pricing structure from YWCA side is $25 to $75 an hour, and then if folks are wanting to rent the space out for the day, we can negotiate like a day rate. And then the Liberation Collective operates on a sliding scale as well. So their sliding scale is from $10 to $30 an hour on the Sunday through Thursday.
Okay, yeah. Nice. Good to know. Cool. And how big is the Friendship Hall space?
It is about 800 square feet. It can hold about 70 to 75 people.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Tell me about how y'all provide crisis support.
So we don't currently provide crisis support here. We will often refer folks to a community partner organization like the Crisis Clinic or Safe Place Family Support Center. Also recently, we have a new neighbor down the street, the Franklin Street Harm Reduction.
Yes, I've been to their open house. They're great.
Yeah. So oftentimes folks will maybe ask for a resource or a service or support that we don't offer directly here, but we have a resource table here in our front entryway, and a lot of folks who are shopping in Kathleen's Closet are also looking for service and resource from other organizations, and we have a really thorough resource page on our website as well.
That I've lists. Seen that. It has a domestic violence hotline number on it, numbers to the Safe Place, and there's even your quick escape button.
Yeah, and a lot of white WCAs are working directly in intimate partner violence, providing support and shelter. And our association isn't operating in that capacity anymore. Each of our individual associations are separate organizations. So the YWC in Pierce County, that's all they do, DV support and housing and legal aid and legal support. And so each of our associations are able to respond to the larger mission of YWCA, eliminating racism and empowering women, in a capacity that's responsive to that specific community.
Okay, okay. And we have this one here in Olympia. And what other locations are there in the surrounding region?
The other closest YWCA, there's one in Kitsap.
Okay.
And Clark County as well.
Okay.
And then the YWCA in Seattle.
Oh, wow. Okay. Nothing in Lewis County, though.
Nothing in Lewis County. Yeah, we had started to expand our programming, particularly our youth programming, into Mason County and some other surrounding counties. And that was really excited and very... we were hearing from community that was really supportive to have more support for youth, particularly. Yeah. And, you know, all of that has now been paused, so.
I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But speaking of that, you're facing these financial difficulties, and so you've had to suspend some programs. How did that happen?
That's a great question. There's kind of like a short-term answer and a longer-term answer.
Yeah.
We have been operating on a really slim slash no margin for quite some time, rebuilding after kind of the height of the impacts of the COVID pandemic for organizations and realities of funding, really created challenges in accessing sustainable funding, which is like, you know, multi-year grants or consistent revenue streams that we can rely on. And so a lot of that shifted and changed in the last 3 or 4 years. And we have been putting a lot of time and energy into reestablishing a successful grants program. And we have come to be really reliant on that grant funding. And when we lost funding from a couple of grants, it was really detrimental because they were grants that we had received in the past, or one of the grants was one that we were really hopeful that we would receive. And then with other organizations who had lost federal funding, now also seeking the same kind of private foundation funding that has been accessible for us to receive in the past, that private foundation funding pool is now, not only has the funding pool, you know, downsized, but people accessing and requesting funding from private foundations has increased. Mm. And so what we were hearing was that because our organization is small, that there was maybe not as much of an impact that, like, in comparison to a larger organization that had been receiving federal funding potentially, that their numbers and their data are much more expansive than ours. And so it made us seemingly less competitive in that, mm-hmm. in that market, so to say. Mm-hmm. So we had hoped and been receiving some funding for the last couple of years that's connected to this season right now. And when we lost funding from those grants, we weren't able to cover the costs of operating our programming and retaining the staff team that we had. And so we made the incredibly difficult decision to lay our entire team off and retain just the one co-director.
And that's
at
you.
This time, that's me.
That's you. You are alone.
Yeah.
Well, you have this one wonderful senior volunteer that I met this morning.
Yes.
She's hanging in there with you.
She is. She's here every Tuesday with me. And the response that we've gotten from the community in terms of volunteer support has been incredible. We still need more volunteer support, but being able to have folks supporting shoppers in the closet while I'm in a meeting or answering emails or writing a grant or, you know, fixing a toilet upstairs like I did last week. Volunteers are really, like, keeping things going right now, and in no small part to my mom, also, who is our volunteer coordinator.
Shout out to Mom.
Shout out to Mom. I am so grateful for her support. And she runs a second Saturday volunteer day here, second Saturday of the month from 9 to 11. New volunteers can come and go through a brief orientation and then get started on sorting donations in Kathleen's closet, or most recently having volunteer support in organizing and cleaning out the offices to get ready to rent out has been really, really vital in us figuring out this next phase.
Wonderful. I want to go about the funding situation. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's with the new federal administration that's come in and created so much upheaval and change. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of organizations are directly impacted by that because of retraction of funds and grant and where they are allocated to go. Would that be one of the reasons? Is that what's going on for you as well?
We didn't have any direct federal funding necessarily.
Okay.
So we weren't directly impacted by federal funding cuts.
Okay.
But we were impacted by state funding budget this year in particular. We had been hopeful that we would be a candidate in the No Child Left Inside initiative that is part of the state's budget. And when their budget downsized, the group of funded organizations shrank as well. And so we just missed the cutoff for receiving funding for youth programming and expanding access to outdoor opportunities mm-hmm. for the youth that we've served. And that was really devastating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder how much voice our community has mm-hmm. in the decisions that our state is making on where those support funds go.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great question. I know that throughout the budget process, the No Child Left Inside program in particular, they were reaching out to community to ask for advocates to support increasing the budget in that regards. And I think they got more funding than they had anticipated because of how much turnout there was saying this program needs funding. And it supported definitely the organizations that received funding, which is incredible. And unfortunately, that just didn't include us.
Mm. That's still encouraging to know that people speaking up mm-hmm. made a difference. I think it's incredibly important that people know that and find that validation mm-hmm. that their voice matters, their presence matters.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we need to all come together and advocate for ourselves as a mm-hmm. community because quite often we get the message that, the leaders mm-hmm. are just not going, they're going to do what their agenda is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we need to remind them that they work for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think knowing, too, the way that our advocacy is not only connected to us as an organization, as YWCA Olympia, but how advocacy also supports other efforts too, that just because we didn't get funding from that doesn't make me feel like I wish I wouldn't have done that. Do you know what I mean? So that there are still folks that are benefiting from the impacts of reaching out.
Definitely, mm-hmm. definitely, because there are other organizations that also do some of the same work that mm-hmm. you do, perhaps in a different way. It might look different, mm-hmm. but still supporting youth in the community.
Right, and at the end of the day, when one organization suffers, we all suffer. I mean, we're an ecosystem, and when some of us are thriving and some of us are doing well, it really supports the other organizations and all of the folks that we serve too, because we are a small community, and the more that we can work together and support each other, mm-hmm. the more effective we'll be able to be in serving people.
Definitely. I totally agree with that. What do y'all need to move forward from where you are currently?
So we launched an emergency fundraising campaign at the end of August with the goal of raising $100,000 in urgent funding. that would support our ability to make a long-term plan and keep the building open and allow folks who are currently using the space to continue to run their programming while we work to figure out our next steps. And those funds are really vital in being able to make a plan around whether we will have to sell the building or not. We've had really, really difficult conversations about the reality of that. And it's really devastating to think about this space being anything else than what it is now.
Yeah.
Or what it can continue to evolve and be to meet the moment. I mean, one thing that I know because people tell me is that for 80 years we've been able to pivot when we've needed to meet the needs of folks in the community, whether that's been having Apple Jam in Friendship Hall, a folk music series in the 70s, or Rape Relief Clinic here, Other Bank. We've been a lot of different things over the years, and I think spaces like this are really vital to community being able to come together, people feeling like they have a place where they belong, that they can meet and talk about how to support Free Palestine, how to bring parents organizing for welfare and economic rights together to celebrate in a community dinner. A couple weekends ago, we had a punk market that had vendors from the community selling their art in Friendship Hall, and this being a community-centered space, not only now but in the years to come, I think is really vital because we need each other, I think, not necessarily more than ever, but it feels that way. That spaces that are flexible, that are accessible, that seek to center folks who are invisibilized and pushed to the margins in other spaces, that they belong here and that they're valued here and that they're seen, I think is really important.
It is important. How much have you raised already?
We have raised almost $60,000 already. It is incredible.
40 more thousand to go.
That's
like over half.
It is.
That's over half. You just made it
literally
over half.
I know.
Wow.
It has been really encouraging, and it keeps me and the other folks that are supporting the sustainability of our organization going. I had somebody come in the other day and donate $11 cash. And they said, I live in my truck. I wish I could give more, but this place meant a lot to me a while ago. And
talk about paying it forward.
It would
be, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm getting emotional.
It's so emotional. And it is like people are coming out of the woodworks, it feels like, to advocate for us sticking around. And whether it is somebody donating what they can, or somebody spending time here sorting clothes or mowing the yard, it really has been encouraging how many people are showing up to support us right now in ways that I could not have imagined.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
So let's talk about how to get involved like that. You just kind of gave us some little examples, but what is the practical way that one goes about contacting you to volunteer or donate? What is the process of that?
There is information on our website, ywcaofolympia.org, for donating to our emergency fundraising campaign, for connecting with our volunteer coordinator. There's a button to sign up to volunteer. Also, getting the word out about renting out our spaces, office space, for kind of that sustained, predictable revenue that will allow us to cover the costs of keeping the space open so that we can seek, you know, additional funding and revenue for other programs. So sharing with neighbors, community members, coworkers, that there's a venue that people can rent for parties or workshops or meetings in Friendship Hall, as well as here in our main building. And we'll have more photos and more info about those rental spaces really soon. And then, I think those are the main three things. Yeah, donating funds, sharing with people the campaign, as well as signing up to volunteer to help keep Kathleen's Closet open and organize donations and renting out the space.
Yeah. So if you were going to go on the website to fill out that volunteer form, what does that look like? What is the information y'all want?
Yeah, on our website, there is a button in the upper right corner that says volunteer that you can click on. And it will bring you to a page that tells you more about our second Saturday volunteer day from 9 to 11 each month, as well as what Kathleen's Closet, volunteering for Kathleen's Closet, entails. And then there's a button that says join us. So you can click there and you'll fill out your first and last name, your birthday, some demographic and contact information. And then there are a couple of questions around background checks, and you'll submit that form. Mm-hmm. It goes to my mom, volunteer coordinator Kathy, and she will follow up with information about next steps via email.
Okay. Yeah. Some people are afraid of background checks. What would be like a barrier to someone around that? Would you work with them or talk with them? Would that be like, you know, give us a call and let me talk with you?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's so heartening to know.
Yeah, just reach out. I feel like I might regret saying this, but I'm going to say it anyways. I don't know that we have turned anybody away.
Yeah.
Because of what we found on their background check. It might determine whether they can work in our youth programming or whether they're sorting donations in the closet, but there is a space
still
for people here. Totally.
Okay.
Totally.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
I think people are really working hard on changing things for themselves.
Absolutely.
And we always want to find ways to let them know that they are welcome and supported.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for asking, because it's such a great question. And I think that there is fear around, too, like, where is my information going, or who has access to that. And if people have questions about that, they're welcome to reach out as well. But all of these forms are on our secure platform, and
is that the only way to fill out the volunteer form? Is there a way to come by in person, or do you have a paper form?
Yes, we have a paper form here at our building. Folks can stop by and fill it out on the spot, or they can take it with them. And that best time and days to do that are when Kathleen's Closet is open, because then we know somebody will be here. Outside of those hours, there may not be somebody in the office. That's Tuesday through Thursday from 10 to 2.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then calling. People can call, mm-hmm. too. What would be a number to reach?
Yeah, people can call. Right now our phones are going straight to voicemail, and then we're reviewing any voicemails. So the more detail you can leave, the better.
Good to know.
Yeah, and folks can call our main number, which is 360-352-0593. Mm-hmm. There's a general voicemail that you can leave a voicemail there, or if you're looking to reach me directly, my extension is 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is there also an email?
Mm-hmm. People can reach out to our main email address, which is ywca@ywcaofolympia.org.
Okay. And what about donating? What are some different ways that people can donate? What are the different channels for mm-hmm. that?
People can donate clothes for Kathleen's Closet. So we are always seeking business casual clothes, black non-slip shoes. Also, accessories are really nice to have. It's one of those things that people don't really think to donate here, like an old necklace or some earrings. People don't often see them in here because they go so fast. People are so excited mm-hmm. to be able to accessorize for a job interview outfit.
Purses.
As well.
Purses. Having a nice purse to take with you is important.
Absolutely. And then also bags, like duffel bags or backpacks or old like grocery bags, mm-hmm. like canvas bags. We have a lot of folks who rely on walking or public transportation, and we have paper bags from Trader Joe's, which are great, but they, you know, don't sustain a lot of travel in very well.
There's always a lot of focus on women, and y'all are mm-hmm. the YWCA, but y'all, I assume that you also have men's clothing for work as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We have predominantly feminine clothes, mm-hmm. and there are clothes here. We seek to have clothes for anybody, so we are expanding to include more gender-inclusive clothes, mm-hmm. more masculine clothes, and shoes as well.
Wonderful. So how do people donate funds?
Donating
funds. What
are the
different methods for that?
Yeah, so folks can write a check. They can mail it here to our building, which is 220 Union Avenue Southeast, Olympia, Washington, 98501. Mm-hmm. They can send a check. They can call, and if they connect with me, I can take a donation over the phone and enter it into our online donation platform, or they can make a donation on the website.
Okay, and make checks out to
YWCA of Olympia.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So do you have any other upcoming events going on?
Yeah, we have, in partnership with other organizations in the community, we're a part of planning the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging Summit that kicked off this past spring mm-hmm. in partnership with this coalition that includes folks from municipalities, community organizers, leaders, consultants, all working around equity in different capacities. We are planning next year's summit. That will be the first weekend in May 2026. And we're also working with the YMCA and the Dispute Resolution Center on a three-part community dialogue that seeks to center women's voices in topics that are related to health and wellness, housing, and safety.
Yeah.
So that will be the first part of that community dialogue will be on November 8th at the SPSCC campus in Lacey. And there will be more information about that on our website, too.
So we've talked about how you work with the Liberation Collective. What other organizations in the community do you work with and partner with?
I really operate out of a collaborative mindset, and mm-hmm. so I've really enjoyed getting to know folks at Community Youth Services, Family Support Center, Hummingbird Studio, the Liberation Collective, as you mentioned, the Dispute Resolution Center, the YMCA, the League of Women Voters have been incredibly supportive.
Yeah.
They've been really lovely, and
that's a lot.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of collaboration. That's a lot of partnership. We all need to work together.
Together, that is one of them.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, well, is there anything else you would like to share?
I think I just want to share a lot of gratitude for the folks who have supported us during this time, and it's met with equal parts grief, I think, around having to lay off our staff team and how devastating that was to them and to us and the program participants that we've been serving. And really grateful, and it's really hard. But centering gratitude and belonging and connection at this time is really what I think we need to get through this. And we don't know what it's going to look like even a couple of months from now, but I know that we'll figure something out because of the people that are around us. So I'm really grateful for people just like you getting the word out. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to do this.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Allie, for your time.
Thanks for having me.
If you would like to shop Kathleen's Closet, volunteer, or donate, visit ywcaofolympia.org or call 360-352-0593 or swing by 220 Union Avenue Southeast. Allie and her mom can't wait to hear from you.
That's it for today's resource report produced by Pathways to Agency. At Pathways to Agency, we are driven by the belief that everyone should have the tools and support to achieve their goals and thrive in their communities. Our mission is to bridge the gaps in understanding, accessibility, and trust by connecting individuals to resources and sharing information and processes that can lead to personal and community growth. Resource Report offers information about existing and emerging nonprofits and resource organizations. Find out more at pathwaystoagency.org.
From there, you can follow the link to our podcast archive and listen to any episode anytime. And check out our YouTube channel.
Chaos Radio is not responsible or liable for any views or opinions expressed in the interviews conducted by Resource Report. Till next time, and thanks for listening.